On in our series in the book of Nehemiah, and also this idea of rise up and build, our theme for the year. We come to a certain spot, and we're going to look at our theme verse for the week. Hopefully you've been enjoying memorizing these verses and taking these things with you. It's found in Nehemiah chapter number 2. We're not going to get to it tonight in the message, but it's where we actually get the phrase for our theme for this year. It's Nehemiah chapter number 2, is verse number 18. And it says the letter C in your bulletin. That means it's the third part of the verse, however it's broken down. So this is the only portion that we're going to strive to try to memorize. It says, "And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." It won't be next Sunday night. It'll be a few weeks because after Brother Crutchfield and Brother Heath and Brother Godfrey preach, it'll be a few weeks when we get to this verse inside our Sunday evening service. I wanted us to get here and to be thinking about this and taking this verse with us. And they heard Nehemiah's heart. They heard Nehemiah's burden, and they saw it and they embraced it. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands. They prepared themselves to rise up and build. And you see it, it's for this good work. It's a good work. We're fighting a good fight. We're fighting something that's purposeful, something that's meaningful. The meaning and the purpose of the church is greater than any one individual. We saw it in Stephen's life this morning as he was willing to lay down his life for the cause of Christ. There's something more important than our own selves. So let's go ahead and read this all together. It's Nehemiah 2:18c. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let's try that again. Nehemiah 2:18c. "And they said, let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And in a number of weeks, we're going to look at what it means to strengthen our hands, to prepare ourselves for this good work. And then when we come to this part in Nehemiah chapter number 2 tonight in the message, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10, give you a little reminder, a recap of last week, what happened in the story of Nehemiah for those that might not have been here or those that might have forgotten what we learned so far. Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king, pretty much, of the world at this time. He is one of the world leaders. He's the king of the largest kingdom at this time, and his name is the Artaxerxes here. And here in Nehemiah, he has the cupbearer, and as a cupbearer, what he did was he would taste the food and the drink that was brought to the king, and because of that, if he didn't die, if it wasn't poisoned, then he would give it to the king. You said, "Well, that sounds like a pretty lousy job." Well, back then, that person was a high-ranking official. That king would many times lean on that person. They would have the king's ear. They would have the king's mindset. We're going to see in the story that the king likes Nehemiah here. He thinks highly of Nehemiah. Well, Nehemiah is there doing his job, and he asks his brethren that come back from Jerusalem, "What's the state of Jerusalem? What's going on in Jerusalem?" And he gets some discouraging news. And we see that there is a need to build. And we're talking about our theme for this year, "Let us rise up and build." There's a need for us to build our Christian lives. There's a need for us to grow. I've told you from the beginning, this year, our hope and our goal is that we will grow and we will become more like Christ, that we will not be satisfied being complacent in our Christian lives. We will rise up from where we're at and say, "I want to grow more this year. I want to learn more this year. I want to not be satisfied with just the Bible knowledge I have. I want to learn more." And that's where we get our verse of the week. I want to grow closer to God. I want to be a better husband, a better wife, a better Christian, a better brother, sister, whatever it is, better teacher, better leader. I want to do more this year than I have done in the past. And so that's a goal for this year. And that's where we get our song, our theme song, the finish line. We're looking at it as a 52-week race. We're taking it off and we're going to do our best to try to grow. And hopefully this has encouraged you. And hopefully you have pushed yourself in areas that maybe you've been weak at. And hopefully maybe you're reading your Bible more than you have before in the past. Hopefully maybe you're praying more than you have in the past. Maybe you're learning more verses. Maybe you're making commitment to God to pass out more gospel tracts than you've ever done before in the past. You know, hopefully we are trying to rise up from the spot that just we want the Lord to build our lives. We want Him to increase us and make us more like Him. And we see here that Nehemiah saw the need in verses 1 through 4. And then last week we saw what he did with this need. He took it before God and he prayed. And we showed you a man that would pray and seek God's will. And when we got all the way back to verse number 11 in chapter number 1, we see a man who says, God, here am I, in a sense, send me. He says, I am willing to be the person. And he says, but grant me favor or mercy in the sight of this man. You're talking about the king. So we come to chapter number 2, and we look at verses 1 through 10 tonight. Tonight's message is, don't get ahead of God on the building project. Don't get ahead of God on the building project. You say, what do you mean? Well, this is the idea that we're trying to talk about, is rise up and build, to strengthen, to build our Christian lives. We're talking spiritually here. We're not talking about building a gymnasium. We're not talking about building a building. We're talking about laying some foundation. We learned the foundation is Jesus Christ. We learned about how the wise man will build upon that foundation of Christ and Christ's word. And we saw the need to build. We saw laying the brick or the stone of prayer in our building. But now we come to this spot, let's make sure we don't get ahead of God. Because I don't know about you, but many times when I get a new idea, a new thought, I get excited. I want things to happen, and I want it to happen super fast. I want to grow as a Christian, and I want to grow, and I want to see immediate growth. I want my prayers not just answered today. I wanted them answered yesterday. I want to see God work. I want to see God move. And sometimes I get ahead of God. Here in this story, Nehemiah, we see that God is making Nehemiah wait a little bit. Sometimes you read, like in verse 1, chapter number 1, in verse number, chapter 1, verse number 2, chapter 2, verse number 1, excuse me, little dates. And they're there for a purpose. And you see what it says here in verse number 1, in chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year. So you got a date there. And then in chapter 2, verse number 1, it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year. So why do they put those there? Well, I think they're putting us there for a purpose here, so we can see where it falls in history, in the line of history. But also, it teaches a lesson here. Nehemiah had to wait 4 months. Nehemiah, he saw the need to build here. It says that he took, and it says at the end of verse number 4 in chapter number 1, it says he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. He got his heart right. He got the burden, and he's like, okay, Lord, let's do this. I see it. Now you help me gain favor with the king, mercy with the king. Lord, I'm even willing to go and do this. So you would think, day one, God needs the wall built, so God's going to send him day two. That's not what happens. Many times what God wants us to do, he wants us to wait. He wants to teach us things while we're waiting. He wants to prepare things while we're waiting. He wants the plan to be developed. Nehemiah is going to face some hard challenges. You're going to see in this story, there's going to be people who fight against him. They're going to be, it's a lot of work. There's going to be having people that lack of motivation here. He has to encourage them. He has to get them ready. He has to let God use, and God has to train him. We remember in the story of Joseph this past summer, actually last year and through this year, we went through the book of Genesis. But Joseph this past summer, I showed you how God weaved and made everything ready for Joseph someday to be that second in charge of Egypt. He took him from being a person that was hated by his brothers and thrown into a pit. But also he was planning and preparing him. He saw Potiphar's house. He got the chance to be in charge of one of the biggest homes in all of Egypt. And then he faced temptation with Potiphar's wife. Believe me, when he became second in charge of Egypt, he could have had anything he wanted in the physical realm of things. Women and things like that. But he had to learn to face that temptation when he was a slave. And then God helped him there. And he says, I can't sin against God. I can't do that. And you see God preparing him, making him ready, and making him ready in charge of the prison, learning how not to be bitter at the butler. So that way, someday he wouldn't be bitter towards his brothers. And God places him in a spot. But you say, well, couldn't God just send Joseph of 17 years old, that boy there to help do what he... No, Joseph wasn't ready. And here in the story of Nehemiah, what God is doing in him, I believe, is showing him and teaching him. And as he's fasting, as he's praying, God is working on his heart and working on his mind how we're going to build this wall. And I think sometimes when God speaks to our heart about rising up and building and becoming closer to God, we have thoughts in our minds, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And we get so excited, we get ahead of God in the building project, we do things halfway, and then we end up stopping because it's not really what God wanted. Now, don't get me wrong. God, if you're not reading your Bible, God wants you to read your Bible. He says that pretty clearly in His Word. If you're not praying, God wants you to pray. If you're not memorizing and meditating, if you're not witnessing, those are things God wants you to do. Don't wait for a vision from God for those things. He's already given that to you in this. But there are certain areas of our lives we like to say, you know what? I would like to be better at this. Let God do the building project. Let God do a thorough work in your heart. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Don't try to build your life spiritually and leave God out. You say, well, what do you mean God's trying to build? Well, you think about how it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Consider the word workmanship. A Greek word of poemia, it refers to a poem in a sense. It's a work of art. It's a masterpiece. God is doing something in your life. He is making something of you. You are His workmanship. He has made you a new creature. He has a desire for you. He has a plan for you. He has something prepared for you. He is preparing a certain work and a certain purpose. And you know what? We have to embrace that. You think about the story of Jeremiah. It says, before you were in your mother's womb, He had ordained him a prophet. And God has everything worked out and everything designed in your life. And it's just grabbing hold of that plan and waiting and letting God do the work in your heart. You know, He made you the way that you are, whether you're short or tall, whether you're got brown hair, blonde hair, no hair. God gave those things. He, think of the story of Amy Carmichael, I think it was, a missionary who always wanted blue eyes. And then later on when she was on the mission field, she realized that her dark eyes helped her in the ministry. God designed her that way and had a certain purpose for her and a plan for her. And Nehemiah here, he has a burden. He has a desire. He wants to do something great for God. But God's saying, okay, don't get ahead of me here. There's some things you need to learn first. And there's some things I got to make ready for you. We must let this be developed ahead of time. And these verses, you could have skipped over and you would have missed an important part of the message here. Nehemiah here has a great job. He's the king's cupbearer. He's living comfortably. And he is now ready to go do something for God. But God tells him, I want to do the work. Because when I do the work in you, you're going to look back and say, only God could have done that. Let's look here what it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, and let's walk through this passage of scripture. It says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. Now, once again, this is Nehemiah's job. The king wants something to drink. Nehemiah takes a drink of it first. If Nehemiah does not die, then it's safe. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. So he said, what's the big deal? People look sad at my work all the time. It's against the law here in this time period to be in the presence of the king and their mindset and that should be good enough. And if you come sad in the presence of the king, you can lose your head for that. You can actually be put to death for that. Verse number 2, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. So Nehemiah, you know, he has been for 4 months fasting and praying. It was not until this day that the king noticed this and the king recognized this. I don't know. Maybe it was a lack of sleep. Maybe it was lack of nourishment. I don't know. Maybe God just spoke to the king's heart and said, hey, you know what? Something's wrong with Nehemiah. Verse number 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So Nehemiah doesn't say, I'm sorry, king. Instead, he bares his heart. Nehemiah has been waiting for this opportunity. He's been waiting for God to open the door. The king actually asks him what is wrong, and he gets the chance to present his burden to the king. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And so he listens to Nehemiah's burning. God has prepared the king's heart. And he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? And he says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So we see here, and I think it actually Nehemiah is there before the king. And the king asked him this. And Nehemiah has for 4 months been waiting for this moment in time. And he stops right there in front of the king. I think he prays to God. And he says this. And I said, and he doesn't say what it says, but it says, I said unto the king, if it please the king, And if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. So he is asking, once again, this is not just anybody. This is the king's cupbearer. This is one of the most entrusted employees that he has, probably one of the closest friends he has. And he says, I want to leave. This is a big deal. And you know, for the most part, the king would mostly say, forget it. You're too important. We're busy here. And it said in verse number 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, I don't know why they put that in parentheses there. God's word is perfect. I thought about that a little bit. Maybe the queen was encouraging the king. Maybe the king would have said no, but since the queen was sitting there, maybe the queen kind of says, come on, honey, let him go. He wants to go. It's Nehemiah. He's a friend of ours. I don't know what the purpose is there, but there's a reason why it says there, for how long, and they ask it, and the king says, for how long shall thy journey be? And when will thou return? You know, the king is going to miss him. The king does not really want him to go, but he sees it's a burden on Nehemiah's heart, and Nehemiah desires to go. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So the king's heart is ready and open for this. The king, who is usually only interested in what's going to profit him, now sees and wants to do something nice for Nehemiah. Verse number 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king. So not only did he ask if he could leave, now Nehemiah begins to ask for things. And once again, you see this is the preparation. If Nehemiah on day number 1 would have went before the king asking, he might not have known all these things. But over these months, God's been preparing him. If it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. So they're saying, look, make sure that nobody stops us. Give us letters so that they know I'm on the king's mission. The king has approved it. And then he asked for the provisions. And a letter unto Aspa, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates. And now he's saying, king, not only does your best employee want to leave, he wants you to help provide for this. Give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which pertain to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Verse number 9, then I came unto the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king, now listen, had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. See, now Nehemiah doesn't even ask for protection, but the king goes ahead and sends it anyway. It's amazing how God has it all worked out, how God has everything planned out. But in verse number 10, you see there's opposition. Anytime you want to build something for God, you got to remember, there's going to be opposition. God knows there's going to be opposition. Since God knows there's going to be opposition, he has to plan and prepare for you. Look what it says in verse number 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And you know what? There was people who were sad just because somebody cared about the nation of Israel. You know what? There's a lot of people in the world today that are sad when anyone cares about the nation of Israel. And, you know, we're gonna look at this story tonight. But I want us to try to make this work for us. Don't get ahead of God on the building project. You know, maybe you've been seeking, maybe you've been searching, maybe saying, I don't know what it is that God wants me to work on. I don't know what it is God wants me to do. Wait on God. Wait on him. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help tonight, and then we'll get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray that they get out of this message what you want for them. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we sometimes when we hear preaching, our spirit is definitely willing. And Lord, we get excited and we pop up to do something, but our flesh is so weak. We're like that seed that just pops up but dies because it's not on fertile ground. Lord, help us to be willing to wait on you. Help us to seek you. Help us to let you be in charge of this renovation project. Help us let you do the building in our lives. Help us as we see the story of Nehemiah. He was ready to go but had to wait 4 months. But God, during that time, you did a work in his heart. Speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Some different reasons why we should not get ahead of God in our building project. Number 1 is because God could be preparing us for something. God could be preparing us for something. It is during this time that Nehemiah learns to pray. He learns to trust. He learns to give things over to God. He has a burden. And with that burden, he wants to turn that into a vision. He wants to go to Jerusalem and he wants to tell these group of people who have stopped building and says, let us rise up and let us build. Let us do these things. But even though he has a burden, doesn't mean he's ready for the trip. So God makes us wait. Sometimes we get a burden and the next thing we know, we are taking matters into our own hand. Nehemiah doesn't do this. He waits on God. And in that time of waiting, God is working on Nehemiah. We must always remember to wait on God. I know in my own life, I know that when I finally got my heart right, I was about 25 and I was going back to Bible college. I knew that what God wanted to do in my heart, but he was doing a work in my life. And for a few years, I was just seeking and searching God's will. And then when I knew that God wanted me to pastor someday, I was getting done what I was going to do at school and I was excited and wanted to wait. And my pastor back home said, you know what? He said, Brian, he says, I think you're ready to become a pastor. I was 29 at the time and I listened to him and I thought about it. He says, you know what? I can help you with that. And I went and I prayed about it and I was excited. Of course, you want to do what you think God put on your heart, but you know, God impressed upon me to wait, to become an assistant pastor for a while and then learn and grow. It was during that time that God began working in my heart. A few years later, after working here, I go to, and God says, look, I want you to wait. I want you to learn. And God brings me here and it was my first ministry and I, as an assistant pastor working here, you know, I began to get the desire to pastor the church and God says, you know, wait, take your time. Don't want to get ahead of God. And I still remember the time I was nervous when I went to tell Pastor Thompson that I thought God wanted me to leave to go pastor somewhere. You know, Pastor Thompson's a great guy. He helped me a lot. I have a lot of nice things to say about him. He was always good to me and my family. But he was a little bit older, so I did a lot of things around the church, so I didn't want to disappoint him or upset him at all. But I knew God had worked in my heart. God said it was time now for me to pastor. And I told Pastor Thompson when I got hired that I'd give him at least 3 to 5 years to be an assistant, but I knew God someday wanted me to pastor. And I went to Pastor Thompson and I said, Pastor Thompson, God's called me to be a pastor. And he kind of chuckles and he says, what took you so long? He said, I told the deacons 6 months ago that I was going to be retiring at this date. And he says, if you like to pastor the church, we could bring that before the church. And you know what? It's amazing how God works all the details out. When you wait, and you know, God was speaking to my heart and had already spoken to his heart. It's just amazing how God does all that. And we got to remember to wait on God. Let God work out the details. And that's what's happening in Nehemiah. Sometimes this waiting time seems like a season of wasting, but instead it's a time of prepping. He is doing something that is undetected before the king. He is here, he is fasting and he is praying at nights, and he's saying he's praying day and night, and it's forbidden to be sad in the sight of the king. It's punishable by death, but for 4 months he does this fasting and this praying. Nehemiah is practicing something that Jesus taught. Nehemiah can be commended here. He is willing to wait on God. He doesn't go and try to tell the king, you know, make little hints. You know, things are bad in Jerusalem. He doesn't say, oh, Jerusalem. No. He continues on serving. He continues on doing what he knows he's supposed to. And he lets God do the work. And he lets God move in the heart of the king. He lets God begin to prepare him and God to begin to get him ready. He's noticed when he's ready and he finally gets to give that vision and he prays to God and he finally gets a chance to present. What does he do? He already has a plan. He already says, okay, you know what, king? I need your permission here. You know, these other nations, as I go through these nations, they're going to stop me. They're going to say, hey, you can't come through here. But if you would write a letter ahead of time, king, saying that I'm allowed to, you know what? That's going to really help. And king, you know what? The people in Jerusalem, they're very poor. They're not going to have the money to be able to build these walls. I'm going to need your help with the provisions. And you know what? God got his heart ready. His burden became a vision because he was willing to wait on the Lord. Nehemiah was not trying to persuade Artaxerxes by himself for these 4 months. All he learned to do was trust and wait on God. And many times we hate to wait on God. Many times we want things right then and we want it right now. But the Bible teaches us an important truth. that there is benefits to waiting, that we actually get strength in waiting. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He says, look, if you're willing to wait on me, if you're willing to relax in me, if you're willing to rest and just do what I've called you to do, I know you got a burden. I know you want to build. I know that you have all these things in your heart. I've placed them in your heart. But if you're willing to wait, I will renew your strength. I will give you the strength that you need supernaturally. And I will renew that for you. And it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Bible over and over tells us that there is a time of waiting, and many times it's because God is trying to do something in our heart. Think about Habakkuk, we talked about. And on Wednesday night, he was discouraged. He was overwhelmed. He thought somebody should do something about Israel. And God says, I am doing something. I'm bringing Babylon down. And Habakkuk says, you can't do that, God. And Habakkuk says, I'm going to go up to my watchtower and I'm just going to sit and I'm going to wait. He says, I will stand upon my watch, set upon my tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to let God tell me what he wants me to do. And like we learned last week, he says, when God told him, his response was, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bone, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. He said, what does that mean? He was facing something that, you know, his nation, he knew his nation was going to be overrun by the enemy. It's like saying that Canada became some wicked communist state and they would come and destroy all of America, and we knew about it. Our hearts would be heartbroken. Our hearts would be, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm overwhelmed. What about my family? What about my friends? What about my heritage? And Habakkuk says, when I learn to wait on God, and he reveals this to me, he said, I can find rest in that day. When I wait in God, I can rest. And it says, in the day of trouble. And it's an amazing thought, amazing verse. We've been going through that on Wednesday nights. That if we will just be willing to wait and listen to God, he can even make our hard days restful. And what does the directions, what's the result here? Nehemiah waits on God. He doesn't have to say anything to the king. The king ends up saying something to him. When you wait on the Lord in prayer, you're not wasting your time, you're investing your time. God is preparing you and your circumstances so that his purpose will be accomplished. And when we wait on the Lord, he gives us strength, he gives us hope, he gives us our problem in light of his provisions. We begin to see the possibilities of what God might make happen. We begin to see what God can do. Nehemiah could not have convinced the king over and over of all these things that first day. God was preparing Nehemiah. Those 4 months was a time of gaining strength, hope, and direction. And when his burden was growing to the point that it was finally noticeable, God allowed the king to say something to him. It's amazing to think that the heart of the king is in God's hands. So the first thing, we can't get ahead of God because God might be preparing us for something. Secondly, we cannot get ahead of God because God may be preparing someone else to help us. God may be preparing someone else to help us. You go back to the story here. You see here in verse number 2, he's preparing the heart of the king. He says, why is thy countenance sad? He's saying, you're doing something wrong. There is an act here that's punishable by death. Why is this? And in verse number 4, the king responds, unlike a ruler or emperor respond. Instead, he says, what is it that you want? He says, tell me what it is that you desire. See, God has been preparing the king at the same time. Instead of being offended by Nehemiah's countenance, which he probably would have been offended by anyone else's, he sits and says, Nehemiah, there's something wrong. Please tell me what is wrong. What is it that I can do for you? And this is not a normal response from an emperor. This is God working on the heart and preparing God's heart. You say, I don't know how I'm going to fix my husband. I don't know how I'm going to fix my wife. I don't know how I'm going to have favor with my boss. I don't know how I'm going to witness to my neighbor. I don't know how I'm going to... You know what? God can do all things. He takes this emperor of the world and puts him in the thought process that Nehemiah has. He's gained Nehemiah favor. Nehemiah was a Jew. Nehemiah was someone who should not have been raised up to that level of security in that position. But God hits the area that Artaxerxes is sensitive about. Nehemiah says how bad his city is, the burial grounds. If you see here in chapter number 2 what the response of Nehemiah is, he says in verse number 5, he says, if it please the king and thy servants have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Now, his heart was broken because of the fact that it was about the temple and about the building of the wall. But he says something to the king that he knows the king would be sensitive about. See, the Jewish people were always kept it special about their burials and kept it special about way peoples were buried and the spots that they were buried. And if you were building something, you came across a sepulcher where there was a dead body, the priest would have to get out and they would have to move it and give it a proper burial. And see, the people in this empire were the same way. God gave him the right words to say that was going to cause the king to say, yes, you can go. It's amazing that God can do the work. It's amazing that God can prepare not only you for this trial and for this test and for this burden, but he can take the heart of somebody else that you think would be cold and would be hard and would have no interest in helping you and make it and say, hey, I want to help with that. It's amazing sometimes that when God places something on my heart and I present it to somebody who I would never imagine that would have an interest in helping say, you know what, can I come help? Can I come do this? Can I help give? Can I? You know, I look at sometimes a choir and I turn around and think, wow, I never would have imagined that person joining the choir. Not because they couldn't sing, it's just because of their personality. I think, what? You know what? God works in certain people's hearts and prepares them for certain plans and certain places. It's amazing what you can do if you'll let God do the building. It's amazing what God can accomplish with an individual if you let God do the building. I know in my life, I went up and when I told a number of people that I think God was calling me to preach, you know, a lot of them says, really? You? You guys did not know me growing up. You did not know who I was. When I have problems with speaking, sometimes you even hear me a little bit, struggle on certain words and because of my attitudes and the things I did growing up. Well, boy, I had people, I went up to a Sunday school teacher and told me, I never thought you would be a preacher. I thought your brother could be a preacher, but not you. Grandmother tell me, I hope you don't quit. You know, things like, I mean, guess people, and once again, I'm not complaining about that. It's just that if you let God do the building, if you don't get ahead of God and try to do the work yourself and try to, in the flesh, push along the thing, you know what? God can do something special in your life. God can do the work and he can prepare you, but he can prepare somebody else that you never thought would be party of this. And that's why Nehemiah was praying. He says, look, let me have mercy in the sight of the king. And then he says, the king says, okay, Nehemiah, you're one of my best guys, but I'll let you go for this period. And then Nehemiah says, well, king, I need this. And king, I need this. Most kings or emperors would say, you're asking for too much. But no, the king says, no, go ahead, I'll do it. Why? Because in those months, God prepared the heart of the king for the response. Christian, God can prepare the hearts of the people around you if you're willing to wait and let him do the work instead of us trying to do the work. And third thing, not only God could be preparing us, God could be preparing somebody else to help us, God could be developing a plan. God could be developing a plan. Sometimes we just got to wait so God can take the burden and develop a plan in our hearts and lives. You say, can't God do anything? He can. But sometimes, just like a child in a womb must grow and develop before it comes out, sometimes a burden to become a vision, we must let God grow and develop us so it can be birthed and shared with others. And you're going to see here, when he comes to Jerusalem and he goes to these people and he goes and sees this, you're going to see he's going to go around, he's going to walk around, he's going to see the burden's going to get greater, he's going to get greater, and he's going to go talk to these people of Jerusalem and says, this is what God wants me to do. You know what? They're going to look at him and say, who cares what you think God wants you to do? But when he says the hand of God was upon me, and when he says, you know what, God did this, God spoke to my heart here, 4 months later, then the emperor of the world gave me this, and the emperor of the world did this, and the emperor of the world did this, and you can see God's hand working through all this, you know what they're going to end up saying? It's your theme verse for the week. They're going to say, let us rise up and build. And they're going to strengthen our hands for this good work because they see God in the midst of it. It's when we are willing to wait and let God do the work and we can look at the end and say, no one else could have done that by God, but God. Nehemiah couldn't have done that by himself. Nehemiah could not have caused the king to think that way. No, no, no. It was God that did this. And you know who needed that confidence? The people he was going to be helping. You know who else needed that confidence? Nehemiah needed it. Nehemiah needed to hear and see God go through those 4 months and develop this plan. And he had the plan. He says, you know, King, this is what we're going to need. He even knew the guy who was in charge of the timber, the trees. I don't think that guy would have been a high-ranking official. I think he had to look it up and he had to plan it out. And God says, look, when the king gives you a chance, this is what I want you to ask. And this is what I want you to ask. And he's developing this plan. And you know what? Nehemiah, first of all, had to say, Lord, send me. But then he had to be ready till God was ready to send him. There was a plan that involved a time frame, a provision that was needed. He requested all the things that was needed. He knew it was a well thought out plan. See, when did he learn that? I believe he learned that in those 4 months. I think God honors planning. I think there are steps of faith. I think that we should go out and sometimes when God speaks to our hearts and we do something on the spur of the moment, yes. But I don't think God acts haphazardly all the time. He is a God of order. I think God commends people who will count the cost first. You think about in Luke 14, he talks about people who will count the cost. They're saying in your Christian life, look at your life, count the cost before you ever start that project of building that tower or before you ever start to try to make war with somebody else. And he gives this as an illustration. He says, look, you need to count the cost when it comes to your Christian life. And I'm telling you, we need to count the cost. We need to look at our lives and say, you know what? I am tired of being complacent. I am tired of not growing. I'm tired of not seeing Christian victories in my life. I don't want to live like this. I know it's going to cost me some discipline. It's going to cost me some of my time. It's going to cost me killing and destroying my flesh. It's going to be something, but it's going to be worth it. But let me wait on God and let God do that work. This king, he has the mentality, and you know what? The king even gives him something he doesn't ask for. It says that at the end of verse number, let's look here in verse number 9, and then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave the king the letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and the horsemen with me. Now, I want you to see what it says at the end of verse number 8. It says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You know, everybody else would have said, man, that king was awesome. Man, I can't believe that emperor did this and that. Nehemiah wasn't that foolish. Nehemiah says, this is what God did. This is what we got to get through. This is who we want us to fight our battles. This is where we need the work done. This is what we desire. He's saying in verse number 8, he says, this is because of God's good hand. It's interesting how the Lord sometimes will use unbelievers to fulfill our needs. That's what he does here. You know, you think about Hiram, the king of Syria, supplied David with the lumber for Solomon's temple. Cyrus delivered the people from Babylon. Caesar issued that decree that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. It's amazing that God can take some of the greatest plans and use other people. But never lose sight. It's God that does it. Sometimes we live by faith, and sometimes people bless us by helping us here or helping us there. Sometimes there's burdens or needs that our family has that we'll pray, and God will intercede. And I always try to tell the people, thank you for letting God use you. It's not that I don't appreciate what they're doing, and I know it came out of their bank account, and I know that they maybe sacrificed to help us or help somebody else, but it's the idea here, we never miss out. It's God that spoke to their heart to show them the need to answer that prayer, even if they don't realize it. I don't think Artaxerxes realized it. I don't think Cyrus realized it. I know Caesar didn't realize it when that tax decree came. They don't even know they're part of God's plan. But we as Christians must develop and see and understand. Let us wait on God. Let's not get ahead of God in our building projects. Don't get me wrong. If you know you're supposed to be doing something, then do it. And when God places a burden on your heart, don't just dismiss it. Develop that burden. Work on that burden. Strengthen your hands to be prepared for the day that you can do something when the opportunity comes. That's all that Nehemiah did. He was facing a huge opposition. He had a huge job in front of him. He needed God to prepare himself like he did for Joseph. He needed God to prepare someone else to help him. He needed God to provide the time for the plan to unfold. He knew it was God who had done the work. He knew that he would need to have confidence in the days ahead because when people were threatening him, people were trying to kill him just before building the wall, he needed to be able to go back and say, I remember those 4 months. I remember the burden God's given me. I saw God work. I saw God use the king. I saw God use the people. I saw God did this and I saw God did that. And you build a foundation that God did the work. So that way you don't stop. Problem is in our flesh, when we get ahead of God and we begin building what we think our Christian life should look like, we'll quit. We'll give up.
will sprout up. But we didn't have that fertile soil, that good soil. And we die when problems come and hardships come. Nehemiah is going to face huge trials and huge issues. He's not going to waver, though. He's going to get the people to have a mind to work. And he himself is going to get involved in the work. And you're going to see as it goes along, next time we honor Nehemiah, he's going to share that burden. He's going to say, look at what God has done. And the people are going to be, let's go and do this. We can do this with God's help. If God's in this, we can do this. But where does it start? It starts with us seeing a need to build. Nehemiah saw that. It starts with us laying that building block of prayer. It is essential. Then it's waiting on God. Letting God change us. Letting God work in the circumstances. Letting God develop the plan. And building us. It takes time. But they that wait upon the Lord, He's going to renew your strength. Those that get ahead of God, you're going to get tired. Doesn't even matter if you're a youth, they say you're going to faint. It doesn't even matter if you're a young person, it says you're going to quit. But if you're willing to wait on the Lord, if you're willing to let God do the building, He's going to build something with you and use the strength that He has. You know what? We get worn out at times, but when God renews our strength, even when we're tired, we can go on. Nehemiah, he's going to face challenge after challenge. He's going to build these walls in just a short period of time. You're going to see that later on. It's going to be miraculous. And wow, he did that quick? He didn't do it. God did it through him. And when we're talking about building up our Christian lives, we got to stop thinking, how can I do this? What do I think God wants? Instead, waiting on God and letting Him teach us and show us. Surrender ourselves. Fast, pray, and say, God, as Nehemiah did, here am I. Send me. Use me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to pray that I see there's a need, but I'm willing to be the person to go also. Show me what you want me to do. And then wait on Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Tonight, I pray that we learn to wait on God.